Well, here's a question which might stretch the memory banks for most of us. Can you remember when you were a child thinking to yourself, when I grow up, I want to be? Anyone remember? Go on. When you grow up. share it with each other over lunch. That might get us generate a few laughs. I never wanted to be a dentist. My dad was a dentist. Well, no, I don't want to do that. And I never ever wanted to be a vicar. But then God's got other plans. And then my children, I've loved watching them growing up and listening to their hopes and aspirations when I grew up. And you can guess which one said this. When I grew up, he was about 5 years old, I want to be an ice cream van preacher. You might not sell much ice cream. So we ask that question, and in the same way, we want to ask ourselves, what do we want to be as a church when we grow up? I mean, that might be a little bit the wrong way around, but it might be something like, what does this church want to become? Or what is the goal, God's goal, for Holy Trinity Church? And that's a question that I think God's putting us to us today, of all days, on the annual church meeting day. Come on, church, what do you want to be as you grow up? We need goals, don't we? Because our goals dictate our actions. They shape what we do. If we decide that we're a social club, then we'll organise social events. If we organise things to be a charitable organisation, we're here to be a charitable organisation, then we'll organise ways in which we help the needy. We could ask ourselves, how can we make Sunday services better? And I realise there's a lot to be done in making Sunday services better. And yet we want to ask the question first, what's the purpose of Sunday morning? What are we here for? Otherwise, I think we might end up saying, well, let's have real coffee after service, because that would be nicer. Or let's have a cafe at the back of church. But why? Why do we want to do those things? I think they'd both be good things to do, but what's the purpose of doing them? So I said at the beginning of the service that in this sermon series on the church, what is the church? What are we here for? We saw in the first week that we are to declare the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. We saw last week not to segregate, but to be united under Christ. And this week, we're going to look at growth. Churches meet together in order to grow together. So look at verse 12. That's the first point. In verse 12, Paul says, halfway through, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Building up is an idea of growth, isn't it? So if you've watched any houses being built around West Bromwich up the high street, you see them being built up. It's a growth thing. And therefore, the church is always a church under construction. A church is always a work in progress. And therefore, if we're a work in progress, we know that growth needs to happen, and if growth needs to happen, it'll involve transformation, it'll involve change, and so growth is part of God's plan for his church. And the second picture that Paul uses in this passage of growth is from childhood to maturity. So verse 14, then we'll no longer be infants. But before that, in verse 13, to become mature. We all grew up in different ways and in different times, and my upbringing was a bit ragged, and I remember when I got to Glasgow age 17 feeling very immature next to my street cred wise city dwelling contemporaries. I was from the rural countryside. Maybe your growth was ragged or different rates of maturity, and that's the church, isn't it? We grew up from immaturity to maturity. And then, so we see this maturing, growing up, becoming wiser as we become more mature. So the church is a body, and verse 15 has that image. As we speak the truth in love, we will, in all things, grow up. Going to grow up and mature. So the mature adult church is described in verse 13. The mature adult church is the one which has, verse 13, reached unity, oneness, no divisions, no separations, but unity, oneness. And unity is, in verse 13, in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So there's the goal for the church, is to grow up and to achieve unity across divides with Jesus Christ as our head. He's the we saw the first week the capstone of the building, but he's the head, he's the one who's wise, and we follow him together as a body. So the unity of the church is a given unity. So if you look back at chapter 4, verse 3, make every effort. There you are. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. So it's given, but it's got to be maintained. I'll just come back from the Litchfield-Darlston conference, and as a vicar in the Church of England, being in larger structures in the Church of England in the last 30 years probably or more hasn't been a comfortable place, probably even more so since the mid-1990s. There's been huge division in our church, huge conflict and political movements in the church. But I came back really encouraged from the conference this week. John 17 set the scene of reconciliation and unity, and we heard one with a fantastic reading of John 17, Jesus' desire for his people to be one, to be united in him. As the Father and Son are united in one another, so his people to be united in him. So Jesus is our unity. And I came away thinking, maybe the squabbling of our baby church, the Church of England, is coming to an end, and people are becoming more confident together that Jesus is our unity. He sanctifies us by his word. His word is truth, John 17. And that is God's goal for us here locally, that we're to be united around Jesus Christ. Every Christian believer, therefore, has two goals according to this passage. And I want to use the illustration of a bicycle wheel. I want you to imagine that wheel. It's got three parts, hasn't it? You've got the hub at the centre, and the spokes going out to the rim, and they all do funny little directions, and then the rim itself. And the unity of Ephesians 4 is a unity which, at the first level, is like joining hands and saying, we are together on the rim, around the hub at the centre. And we all hold hands, people from different cultures, backgrounds, races, and all sorts of people we saw from last week. No segregation, unity in the church, unity of the Spirit. So we make every effort, verse 3, to maintain that unity and avoid division. But the second goal is to attain to a new unity. And that new unity is like moving along, each one of us from the end of a spoke, in towards the hub. Because the hub is Jesus Christ, and he holds us together. But as we move towards him along the spoke, what happens? As we each move towards him, we get closer to one another. And that's what Paul's teaching here, isn't it? That we move in towards Jesus, we get greater faith in him, verse 13, greater knowledge of him, and therefore become mature. And the unity is a greater unity than simply holding hands around the edge. And the process never ends, does it? The process is constant. We can always grow in faith. We can always grow in knowledge. The two are linked. We keep growing, and keep growing in greater unity. I want to therefore show how this is summed up in our mission statement. so that we know this is what we've been called to do. So I'll just do this myself. We've got the mission statement. Let's read it together. God's mission goals for his church. Colonia, thank you. I'm going to read the first three stanzas of our mission statement. Holy Trinity Church exists to, firstly, glorify God. Let's say it together. People are made by God for God's glory. We glorify God by looking to him, knowing him, loving him, and enjoying him. We therefore aim to grow together in the knowledge and love of God by prayerfully reading and studying all of God's Word together in the light and power of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We're to love, accept, care, and pray for one another. Sin divides people and makes it hard for us to love with each other. As believers, however, we are united by God because of his undeserved kindness to us. We therefore aim to love, accept, care, and pray for one another, not because we are lovable, because Christ first loved us and died for our sins. There you go. Now we're going to keep this one in mind, because that's the bridge to the next bit. The point is, we're a team. We are united. So, you know, I've been watching, who watches football? I've never been a great football fan, but this year I've been quite fascinated by it. Elliot got me started. He took me to a football match, and then he got me onto these match attack cards that he had, and then he got me onto the Telegraph fantasy football. And he said, Dad, you've got to pick Harry Kane, and you've got to pick Berahino and Jamie Vardy. I went, okay. Well, he said, they're all my best ones, so we picked them. And Harry Kane has scored how many goals? I don't know, hundreds. And so has Vardy. Berahino's not been so hot. But Tottenham and Leicester are battling it out, but they are more than Harry Kane, and they are more than Jamie Vardy, aren't they? Because they're teams of 11 people, plus all the managers and everybody else. And that's the church. The church is more than Jesus Christ. The church is his body, and his body is a team. So our growth is not just to be personal growth, but body growth. The church is to grow as a body of people. Verse 16. From him, that's Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now that's the sort of growth that we're called to do. I'm going to see in a minute what that looks like. But churches grow as we work together, building up in love as each part does its work. Now, it's easier as a church just to kind of go through the rhythms and routines of church life. Much easier to stay in a kind of maintenance mode. But doing the work of growth requires maturity, and then it requires decisions to do things which will cause transformation and change, and which results in growth. So questions we want to ask ourselves as a church is, how are we doing as a team to welcome new members to church? How do we help them to grow in faith, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? There's the purpose. Come and join us in unity through faith in Jesus Christ, and we will work together to grow that knowledge of him more and more. So what do we have to do differently in order to mature better? That's the sort of question we need to ask. Well, let's look at how to do things. What is God doing? That's the goal, growth. That's what God is going to do. What do we do? Well, the second point is this. Church is a place where every member gives to everybody else. Church grows as we each give. So how are we going to do that? Look at verse 7. To each one of us, that's everybody, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men and women. That's a generic term. So there's Jesus. What did he do? He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And from there, he showers his church with gifts. It's an image of a victory parade. So he showers gifts upon his church. And what are those gifts? Verse 11, it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. So there's the gifts. The gifts are apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and didactic. That's the word for teaching. So in this part of the Bible, when Paul's referring to apostles and prophets, he's, remember chapter 2, that the church is built on the foundations of the apostles and the past and the prophets. And so in this case, it's the Bible. In other parts of the scriptures, apostles have a little a, not a big a. The big a are the Bible apostles. Little a's are people who are missionaries, are sent out, and the prophetic is still there as a gift in a different way. But the prophets prophesy Christ's coming, and that's the prophets who are mentioned here. So the gifts that he has given are the prophets and the apostles, and then evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now these gifts match up, don't they, with the growth of faith and knowledge of the Son of God. So the evangelists are those who have the gift of going and telling people about Jesus so that they find themselves being led to faith. That's what an evangelist does, shares the good news. Pastors have a gift of listening and then helping someone find God's word to address their situation or their need, which brings peace and blessing. And then teachers have a more general role of teaching kind of big picture stuff, and they say, right, here's what God's done over history, here's what the Bible teaches us, and that becomes a kind of storehouse of knowledge for those who grow in knowledge and faith. So the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are those gifts that build the church as God works by his Spirit. So the question is, how many people have these gifts? Well, the grace has been given to each one of us as Christ apportioned it, and some are prophets and some are evangelists, some are pastors and teachers, some are often those come together, pastoring and teaching. So we should expect that some are gifted in these ways. Have you found yourself naturally sharing your faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ with people in a way that attracts them to know him? Well, then you've got the gift of evangelism. Have you found that you're good at listening, and as you listen, you find scriptures coming to mind that help people to find healing or peace or blessing? Well, then you're exercising the gift of being a pastor. Have you found that if you are asked a question, you can answer it, or you want to teach people the knowledge of the Son of God? Well, then you've got the gift of teaching. And God, Jesus gives them as he apportions it, so we should see that generosity being shed upon our congregation. And the gifts are, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service, with the purpose of the body of Christ being built up. Isn't that amazing? That's what God's doing. Showering his church with gifts, and then giving them to be building up the church. And the result will be, verse 14, there were no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. All sorts of false doctrines and false teaching buffet the church from time to time. But the mature are those who are well grounded in the knowledge of Christ, and don't get buffeted here and there. So, if you've been a Christian long enough, you'll know those sorts of teachings that come to the church, but the mature Christian will never be out of control, chaotic, about wondering what to believe. And that's the sort of church, that Christ is growing us to be by his gifts. So Sunday mornings, what's the purpose? The purpose is to build us up until we reach unity in the Son of God and maturity and shared faith and shared knowledge. But then our book stall and our small group Bible studies and our conferences that we go on. So Kev and Glenn and Chris and I are going to a conference in London on Saturday to look at the pastoral care of people with addiction. All of us are addicted in some way, so it applies to all of us. Quiet time, study notes that we get. Our Lent course, all these things are to tend towards the building up of God's people. They should feed us with greater and greater knowledge that grows our faith. Now, I think we're doing quite a lot for a small church to grow in maturity, but we could do more. We could put more gifts to work if we organise ourselves better, and that's a big call. If we were to train small group leaders who could be able to teach others, if we picked a number of courses through the year and asked people to teach them, like a Lent course, but one every term, or maybe more than one every term, people would choose which course to go to. There's so much more we could do to be building each other up in knowledge and love of Christ and in faith. So the main question, I think, at the end of this part of the purpose of God's God for his church, the questions we want to be asking is, because at the end of the reading each part does its work, verse 16, the question is, what part are you playing in that building up of the body? If you're a new Christian, how are you seeking to be fed and to grow in the knowledge and love of Christ? If you've been a Christian for a while, what opportunities are you seeking to serve others, to give as Christ has given to you, to give away your faith? How are you passing on what you've learned? How are you pastoring people? How are you reaching out in evangelism, if those are your gifts? So this year, as we meet after the service for our annual church meeting, I believe God is calling us back to this basic purpose of the church in mission and vision, to organise ourselves to grow in maturity, to grow in unity, to grow in faith in Christ as he is, and to grow in knowledge of him. And when we do and organise ourselves that way, then God will add to us the numbers of those who are being saved. So let's pray.